Welcome to Simple Wins, the show where we talk to the architects behind the most successful B2B firms. And we're currently in the middle of a massive project curating the 2026 B2B benchmark. Matthew Pohl is a former data analytics professor turned small business owner. He implemented the stages of growth methodology leading to a 10 times increase in his company's value. He founded the Rewild Group to share his approach and is an author focused on organizational growth. Matthew, a big welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Thanks, Adam. Thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. So I know you've spent 12 years hitting a growth ceiling before tripling your business in three. Was the biggest obstacle the market you were in, or was it the rocks you were unknowingly carrying in your own backpack?
Yeah, thanks for the question. No, the market was big. I mean, we were a small fraction, you know, a small fish in a very big ocean. So the market would really support significant growth from where we were in year 12. And so instead, it was really these hidden barriers to growth that I was unaware of. And like you said, you know, I'm in Colorado and I like to hike 14ers. I felt like I was wearing this backpack that was full of rocks, just making the climb even harder than it naturally is.
Absolutely. And what type of industry was that?
Yeah, our business is kind of a very small niche kind of industry. I'd put us in kind of legal consulting services. We managed, our company managed class action lawsuit settlements. So you've probably gotten a mailer in, something, a postcard in the mail and stuff like that saying, hey, you know, file this claim, you might get $10, you know, that kind of a thing. Those are class actions, and we managed kind of all the data processing, the interaction with class members, and the distribution of benefits. We distributed close to $500 million in benefits over the life of the business.
That's awesome. So in your, I guess, case, why would you say you weren't able to hit that growth? Like, what was the aha moment for you when you realized, like, oh, wait a minute, this is what I'm doing wrong?
Yeah, the key for me was when I stumbled on this business growth framework. There was a book that I read, and I connected with the author of the book, and he helped coach me for about a year. And what I realized is that businesses go through these different stages of growth. We were in stage one with 8 employees, but we would go up to 10, 12 employees, which would be stage two. Then we'd come back to stage one. And it was just this back and forth for a decade or so. And so with this roadmap, I was able to see essentially these hidden barriers where we were misaligned. So think of these like as best practices. And by aligning to those best practices, that's where my backpack, you know, I kind of leaned down, opened up my backpack, dumped out all those rocks I was carrying. And then growth became easy. It was a little bit eerie how easy the growth went for those next 3 years, where we went from 8 employees to 40 employees. And, you know, we tripled our revenue. And in fact, when we exited in year 15, we sold the business for 10 times what it had been valued at in year 12.
Amazing. That's incredible. And do you think it was the operational side that was the problem, or was it more the hiring side? Because you're talking about massive growth in the numbers of hiring. So which would you attribute the success more to?
Well, I'll give you a couple examples. First of all, one of the rules of growth is what's called gates of focus. And this is the principle that you can focus on people, profit, or process as your main emphasis where you're going to see growth. And what we usually see business owners do is they naturally kind of lean into one of those three because that tends to be their area of strength. For me, being a data analyst, kind of my background and training, I'm really process oriented. So for the first 12 years of the business, I focused on building a better mousetrap. And for me, people were second important. So you have process, profit, and people. Those are the three gates. And so I focused on process first, people second. I figured if I had a great team, you know, that would help. And to me, profit would just naturally flow if I got those first two right. The roadmap, though, shows that in stage one and stage two, profit is the gate of focus that you have to, to be really leaning into. And that was the least natural for me. That's just not what I like to do. So I had to just change my mindset to say, okay, if the business is going to grow, I've got to focus on profit. And I've got to put the energy of the organization behind that as well. And so kind of one of the things we did is we built this back then. This was 15 years ago. So we built our own CRM database, and we essentially said everybody in the organization, if they're not working on client work, which was billable, everybody has to be doing marketing. And so what that turned out is that a lot of what our team did was do data entry. So that was a big part of our skill set internally. So we said, anytime you have even 15 minutes of non-billable time, you're supposed to be out there looking on the internet for law firms who are our clients or our prospects and putting them into our marketing database. We also had a call center, and that handled incoming calls from class members. We said, okay, we've got a sophisticated phone system. You guys are great on the phone. Let's turn that into an outbound outreach. In 1 year, we made 13,000 outbound calls with our team. And that was just taking our internal talent and refocusing them on profit orientation instead of process.
That's fantastic. That's super cool. So really, I mean, you switched the whole business to just go sales first almost is what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, exactly. It was about revenue generation. And, you know, we even incorporated fun things like, you know, our goals for that period of time is one of the symbols was a bucket of money. And we said, we want to make buckets of money. And we made that fun. And we were unapologetic about wanting the business to be successful. And so everybody was talking about, okay, let's go make buckets of money. And obviously, we rewarded our people. But the change in mindset allowed us to go from a couple proposals a month to one every business day of the year. And that was, you know, a 10x in the volume of proposals we were getting, which obviously contributed to the rapid growth in revenue. But the nice thing about the roadmap is it wasn't just for where we were. It helped me see what was going to come next in stage two and stage three. So those adjustments I needed to make as a leader, whether that's my leadership style, which gave the focus we needed, and what kind of building blocks we needed as well. Things like making sure we had clear values within the organization, and were we having regular interactions with our team to highlight things that were working and not working. So there are these other building, I'd call them foundational structures, building blocks that we could see that we would need in stage two and in stage three and beyond. So it wasn't like we'd get into that next stage and have to just learn again via trial and error. We had a lot of specificity to work with.
That's fantastic. Super cool. And how does your company now, what are you guys doing to help others go ahead and implement that?
Yeah. So after we had that success in the business and had a great exit, I looked back on, you know, well, what changed, you know? Why did we see such great success in those last 3 years? I really attributed a lot of it to the roadmap, this framework. And so I ended up acquiring all the research and IP from the inventor of it. And that was really the foundation of the Rewild. And so we've taken all these really great ideas that were, I would say, originally inventor-centric. They were pretty complex and really needed the inventor to deliver them to more general principles and ideas and capabilities that we now train independent business consultants and coaches on. And so they use that framework, kind of like a lot of people are familiar with EOS. It's like an EOS, but it's not a one size fits all. It right sizes to where the business is.
That's awesome. And you said coaches and consultants, correct?
Yeah. So, Our advisors, we call them CORAs, Certified Organizational Rewilding Advisors. CORA is the acronym. So CORAs essentially get another bag of tools. Some of them, that's their main bag that they use to help businesses. Sometimes it's an adjacent kind of a secondary bag, and maybe they're a fractional CFO, or, you know, they're a process consultant, or they're just kind of a business coach, but now they have a bag of tools that they can come alongside and really help them understand where the business is, what stage of growth they're in, what are the rules for that stage. And we have a lot of tangible materials and client engagement materials that allow them to apply these principles to small and mid-sized businesses within their network.
That's awesome. And when would a coach or a consultant know to start reaching out to you? What's usually like the trigger?
I would say it's typically when they're looking to differentiate themselves in the market, you know, and try to go beyond just their personal story. A lot of consultants, you know, really lean into their personal experience, which is great and often is pretty deep, but can be fairly narrow. So by really adding this framework, what they get is a research-based system that is comprehensive for the business. So it augments their areas of strength and allows them to more broadly help the existing clients that they have. And it gives them really reusable material, so they're not inventing the wheel every time they get a client engagement.
For sure, absolutely. And one of those things, I guess, how important would you say is messaging? So I know a lot of consultants, they struggle initially with the messaging that they're doing. How do you really help when it comes to the alignment towards sales focused on that messaging?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of material that assists coaches and consultants with getting that messaging out into the marketplace. And again, one of the powerful parts is, you know, what I'm going to bring to you as a solution to a small business isn't just my personal experience, kind of that one-off, I would say anecdotal kind of experience. It's not that it's not important, but By being able to come to the marketplace and talk to the business owner to say, I've got a research-based framework that's based on thousands of small business owners' experience and what allow them to get unstuck and to continue to grow, it adds authority to their personal story.
Absolutely. Matthew, where can people go to learn more about you?
Yeah, the best way is going to our website, rewildgroup.com. You can find me on LinkedIn and, just reach out to me. I'd glad to have a chat, whether you're a business owner trying to get your business unstuck like my business was at year 12 and seeing rapid growth. Maybe that's because you're maybe looking to exit in the next 5 years and you want to have a more valuable asset. Or if you're a business coach or consultant and you're looking for some new capabilities to help existing clients or attract new clients, I'd love to have a conversation.
Amazing. Matthew, thank you so much for being here. Really, really glad you came on today.
Adam, thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.